Today I would like to talk to you about other ecclesial communities. Now that's exactly what Pope Benedict XVI has called the Protestant world, or our separated brethren, other ecclesial communities. And the reason why he used those terms was because he wants us to understand that all of us share something of the same beauty, the same goodness, the same love. And that is where we need to combine, we need to connect in those places that we agree, that we know to be true, that all of us can come together on. The Creed, actually, is recited in many, many churches, many different denominations. And why? Because we hold these to be true, to be absolute, undeniable. We must embrace them. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. And there we find our similarity. But what are the differences? Well, first of all, we have to go back. The Protestant Reformation was really a reform that was a response to a reform that the church had already begun through Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross in Spain. They were bringing the church to a renaissance of love and commitment to the virtues, poverty, chastity, obedience, the ascetic life. And there were many who were Catholic in name only, who saw this coming and didn't want to change. Because remember, the world was quite divided at that time. For the Pope to get a letter to someone, it might have taken months, sometimes a year, for someone to get a proclamation from the Pope. And so there were many people, who priests and bishops, who got married and who were living different lives, and they had different philosophies and theologies. And when they saw this, they decided that it wasn't what they wanted. And so they rebelled. And in their rebelling, there were different groups that were formed. The Anabaptists, the Lutheran, Martin Luther, a great Catholic priest, a great lover of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. In fact, one of the treatises he wrote on Mary far surpasses anything that's ever been written, and loving her and showing how beautiful she is. And so we find that these divisions were caused by a desire to make God more like the self than the self like God. People began to rebel against organized religion or specific tenets of the faith. And listen, if anybody tries to tell you that they were selling indulgences, that's a little old and it's getting a little stale, because that's not true. Indulgences weren't bought. Indulgences are ways of expressing the value of an act of charity or an act of love or the value of a prayer in a society where most people couldn't read or write. And so if a man came to the church with an equivalent of $1 million and donated it for the construction of the church or for a tabernacle or something like that, the church would say, okay, this is worth 5 days indulgence. And he would go off. And then you'd get a little person coming up that was unable to really walk upright, maybe an elderly woman, and she would give that one little talent. And the church would say, that talent is worth 50 years indulgence. Now, I can understand why the wealthy and intelligentsia got kind of ticked. Because they thought in those times of the Reformation that they should be the ones to get to heaven. Because they gave the most. But in reality, that's not the way it works. Indulgences weren't bought. In fact, if you had enough money to buy one, you probably couldn't get much of an indulgence. And so therefore, throw that idea out, because that's just a lot of bunk. What we need to do is look at exactly what was taking place. The church offered and offers Christ, the entire Christ, everything, the sacred scripture, the tradition, 2,000 years of tradition now, back then 1,500 years. The church continuously taught the same truth, the same gospel, the same law, divine law, the same teachings of Christ. Well, each person that formed their own religion picked certain things that they liked, certain things that they thought they could live with, and they made their own religion. Well, what does that do? Well, that's why there's so many thousands of different Christian sects, of different ecclesial communities. Because every person wants a Jesus that fits them. In the Catholic Church, we have to fit him, not him us. I have to conform my life to his. And when I preach, I've got 2,000 years of tradition behind me, and I better be faithful to those 2,000 years of tradition. I have no right to go against it, because I am not the teacher of the faith. Christ is, and his Holy Spirit that has continuously guided the church for 2,000 years without fail. To deny that would be sacrilegious. To deny that would be a sin against the Holy Spirit. To say that God abandoned his church, did not send his Holy Spirit until Luther showed up, would be one of the greatest sacrileges, maybe even a sin against the Spirit. For you would be denying 1,500 years of the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. Now, how can that be? Either Jesus was honest and true, he was the Son of God, and he sent his Spirit, and his Spirit protected us from error and guided his church, or it didn't. And if it didn't, then you got all the different religions you want. Doesn't that make sense? That's the thing that we have to keep in mind. And every day in the United States, there are a couple hundred new religions. What makes that easy is they're tax exempt. Who wouldn't want to have a tax exempt status? Especially in this economy. We foster the creation of new religions all the time, new Christian faiths. Let's pick what we want to believe. Let's take this, let's take that. Some churches even have yearly or every biannually councils, and they change their doctrine. Now, think about this for a second. How can doctrine change? It's either true or it isn't. If it's true today, it has to be true tomorrow. It cannot change, because if it is true, it means it is a reflection of the divine truth. And therefore, you can't just come and say, well, half the world doesn't accept it anymore, so let's change it. Let's get rid of that. Grant you, there are a lot of things that the church teaches that are unpopular. But so was Jesus. And if I'm going to follow him, you think I'm going to win some popularity contest? Why do you think I'm a shadow priest? We have to live our faith. We have to understand that our lives as Roman Catholic Christians is to conform our lives and our self to Christ. We have to become Christ, not make Christ become me. I have to learn how to make myself united so totally, so completely, as the saints have said over and over and over again, that I cease to exist and only he exists. That is true spirituality. It's easy to be saved. But our Lord said, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. God teaches us that through Scripture. He teaches us that we have to work. We have to become worthy of that love that we have received. There is a commitment that is required of anyone who recognizes God as their most loving and affectionate father. And any man who is a father to his children demands something from them. He demands their love. He demands their respect. He demands their obedience. Why should God be any different? He gives us everything. Everything, our very life itself. He gives us the beautiful things that surround us in the world. And what are we doing with them if we are not returning them to him? Then don't call yourself Christian. If we are looking at Scripture and we are picking out a few phrases that we happen to think we can live and we're throwing away the rest, don't, for the love of God, call yourself a Christian. Call yourself a nitpicker, but don't call yourself Christian, and don't dare call yourself Catholic. It's either all or nothing. You can't pick and choose what you want to believe, because belief is not dependent upon you. Truth never depends on the believer. The Eucharist doesn't exist because I believe. The forgiveness of sins doesn't exist because I say it does. I recognize that Christ gave us these gifts, and I conform myself to them. Confession, for example. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, nobody's going. Now, either that means that everybody in the Catholic Church has instantaneously become saints, And to tell you the truth, I kind of doubt that.
But there's also the possibility that we've forgotten what it means. We've forgotten that to go before Christ as a merciful, forgiving, loving God is what we have access to now while we're alive. Because once we die, we'll be encountering the judging God. We will be encountering the God who is going to make us aware of everything that we're doing wrong. And we will be the worst judge of our own self. Now is the time to encounter Christ, not the way I want him to be. I have to encounter him the way he is and make myself like him. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The more light in our life, the more we see the flaws in our life. The worst possible thing any Christian can do is say that I'm saved. That's kind of audacious. It's kind of presumptuous. How can I know I'm saved? Am I that secure in the choices that I make and in my own strength that I can even control my destiny with regard to God's love and his forgiveness and his kindness? I call down upon God, listen, you're going to forgive me, by the way. Or do I recognize how much I need him and how often I sin and how desperately I need that forgiveness that he died in order to give me? Now, if I have that, then I'm seeing Jesus the way he really is. I'm not seeing him through some rose-colored glasses. All I have to do is accept Jesus as my Savior. No! That's not enough. It will never be enough. Because to accept Jesus as your Savior means that you've got to be willing to fail. It means you've got to recognize that you're weak. It means you've got to recognize that he has held out his hand over and over again, and you have to reach up and grab it. You have to find him in the sacraments. You have to see him and understand him and know him in the Blessed Sacrament. You can't create Jesus in your own image and likeness. We cannot. We have to accept him completely and totally. I know this may sound harsh, but it's true. You know, I have never known any person who has left the Catholic Church because they understand the teachings of the Church. It's because they're ignorant. And I mean that with every ounce of intensity that I can muster up. Nobody leaves the Catholic Church because they're smart. They leave because they don't have any clue of what the Church teaches. Because if you know what the Church teaches, you can't help but fall in love with it. Because it's Christ. The Church is the mystical body of Christ. The more you know the Church, the more you know Christ. The more you know Christ, the more you love. The more you love, the more normal you become, and the more beautiful you become as a Christian. That's why it's important to study our faith. We have been given a deposit of faith that far exceeds anything else out there in the world. If you took every single belief of every Christian denomination and you put them all together to make one church, you still wouldn't add up to what the Catholic Church is. There would still be something wanting. There would still be something missing. Something essential, something beautiful, something magnificent. It doesn't mean that those who took the certain things, such as sacred scripture from us, or marriage, baptism, some of the sacraments, that they don't have something beautiful there. But it isn't the whole story. It's not the whole beauty. It's not the richness and the beauty. It's not the multifaceted diamond that Christ offers to us. They have picked and chosen. And I would never depend upon just one founder, unless that founder was God, to believe anything. I don't put my faith and trust in a man. I put my faith and trust in a God-made man. He is the founder of the Roman Catholic faith. And we have been faithful to him for 2,000 years, and we will be faithful to him until the end of time, whether the whole world hates us or not. Whether we are reduced to destitution, okay, fine, bring it on. We're Catholics. Suffering makes us stronger. You'll never destroy the faith.
No matter how much people have tried throughout the years, it becomes stronger through persecution. It doesn't mean that there are people in the church that aren't stupid. I've known quite a few of them. Hate to say it, but it's true. But you know something? Don't judge the mystical body of Christ because one little part may be ill or may be infected. You have to clean the wound. You have to help it grow and heal through forgiveness, through compassion, through understanding, through education. We cannot leave the church because of one person. And I'm going to tell you this, and I think I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If anyone out there, anyone, I don't care what your state in life, I don't care if you believe or you don't, or if you've gone from one religion to another, and you were Catholic at one time, and something happened to you, some person hurt you, even if it is a priest, I beg your forgiveness. I beg it. Don't kill yourself because of a fool. Don't hurt yourself because some priest got up on the wrong side or didn't have a good day or yelled at you. You have to remember that Christ handpicked 12 guys and they weren't the greatest crop. Well, to tell you the truth, I think we're not doing too bad. Jesus had 12, and they all ran away. We got hundreds of thousands, and most of them stick around. Don't abandon the truth because you've been hurt. Heal the wound. Correct a situation. If someone has hurt you, let someone know about it. Let the church know it. And please understand that. You know, I beg your forgiveness for anything that anybody's ever done. Any hurt that anyone has ever caused you, I'm sorry. And the church, the Holy Father, the whole universal church hurts and is in pain when something like that happens. Because no one wants something that will take away your faith or damage your faith. No matter how weak, no matter how strong that faith might have been, it's our job to protect it, to foster it, to make certain that you grow in love and truth and understanding and wisdom in the grace of God. Love your faith. Learn your faith. If you are ever tempted to walk away from it, remember, it is not because you know your faith that you walk away. It's because you don't know it. And that would be a crime, even a sin. To walk away from the truth will never be a good idea. Love the church, even though she's got a lot of different difficulties. And we have a lot of, there might be Judases out there, there might be Peters that deny a couple times. There might be some that give bad examples, some that really aren't nice. I've known so many cantankerous priests, I can't even count them. But you know something? Most of the priests and most of the church hierarchy that I have ever known in my life are consecrated to the truth. They love Christ in the church, and they give their very lives for that truth. Give the truth the opportunity to work within your soul so that you become stronger each and every day of your lives. That's basically all I have to say right now about the church, about the sacraments, about, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, our beloved separated brethren, give yourselves over to the truth. Show your brothers and sisters of other faiths how much the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God really changes your life. Give yourself over to the truth. And those of you who are not Catholic, come on back. We'll take you.